Good morning. How are you today? Are you ready for food? But first, first, are you ready for preaching? Yeah, okay, good. All right, good. Now, hey, so glad you're here. We've been talking about invitations, but I was starting to think, has there been a time, though, that you have not been invited? Maybe you found out about it later as all of your friends were talking about what a great time they had. Maybe you pulled up social media and you saw pictures of an event that you didn't even know was happening. And when you see it, when you hear about it, all of a sudden you feel excluded. Like you're not as important to them as you thought you were. And you're left with these thoughts of why wasn't I included? Why wasn't I invited? Why wasn't I a part? Why do I not belong? And as I was trying to think back through different times, it was hard to come up with specific times. And I think the reason is we have those times, we go through them, we just kind of push them to the side and almost forget about them. But what happens is this pattern develops in our life. I think we start to develop this feeling of expectation. The expectation to not be included in certain events with certain groups of people. And the invitations we've been talking about, Mary, who was really unlikely, Joseph, who was really conflicted. But today we're going to talk about the shepherds. The shepherds who are the forgotten. The people that really don't belong. Because most of the time when I see that I was not invited to an event or to a party or to a gathering, I start to think of the reasons that I might not have been invited. If I had been more like so-and-so, or if I had done this, or if I talked like this, or if I did this, then maybe they would have included me. But the beauty of this good news of Jesus is that God meets us where we are, not where we think we should be. God meets us where we are, not where we think we should be. Because most of us, when we have this picture in mind of our relationship with Christ, we have these assumptions of the things that we need to do, the way that we need to act, what we need to be like for God to love us, for God to accept us, for God to call us His child. But I think this story completely pushes those expectations aside. And it invites every single person into the story of Christ, regardless of where you come from, regardless of how included you feel or how accepted you feel, this story is for you. The story is about you. Luke tells it this way. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom His favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for the good things, for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The beauty of God's invitation is God's invitation comes to the most unexpected people in the most unexpected places and in the most unexpected ways. He appears to these unexpected people. It begins with these simple words, "And there were shepherds." And to us, we don't think a whole lot about that word shepherd. But a shepherd in this context, in this world, was completely negated. They were cast aside. They were not considered. They were not heard. They were not important. They were social outcasts. The Mishnah and the Talmud both say that a shepherd is not to be able to serve as a witness, that their testimony does not matter, because shepherds were seen as thieves, crooks, robbers, because what they would do is they would usually, in essence, steal land by grazing their sheep, their cattle, on land that was not theirs. And so they were outcasts. They were not listened. And so when testimony of shepherds comes into this town, here's what God has told us about. My guess is there would be some doubt. Not because of what they are saying, but because of who is saying it. And it blows my mind that God would choose these social outcasts to be the first to come to the manger, to make this announcement of the royal birth of the Messiah. But he chooses the people that we would never expect. They were the first to hear this message. They were the first to receive this message, and they were the first to be invited. And it just points out again that God sees the ones the world overlooks. So there were the unexpected people, but there were also these unexpected places. Because when you hear the birth of a king, you would assume that happened in a palace. You would assume it happened in a temple. You would assume pomp and circumstance and royalty. But that's not the announcement. The announcement comes in a field at night to the unseen people. It comes in ways that we wouldn't expect. There were shepherds that were living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. This is not how you would expect the story to go. This is not who you would expect to be invited. And this is definitely not the place you would expect that invitation to go to. It goes into the quiet fields of the night, where no one else is around to see or hear, just the people that are excluded, the people who wouldn't be invited, the people that would be pushed to the side. Because God doesn't wait for us to find Him. He comes looking for us. And maybe you are in a place where you feel like you are the outcast. Maybe you come to Shiloh and you're giving church your last try because everywhere you have been, you feel like you are excluded. You feel like you don't belong. You don't feel like you're like everyone else, and surely God couldn't love you. And my hope and my prayer is simply this, that in this place you find a place to belong. Not because you're accepted by us, but because we're simply revealing the love of Christ that accepts you just as you are. Because the beauty of the gospel is not change and you can follow Jesus. The beauty of the gospel message is come follow Jesus and you will change. And he invites the people in the places that no one would expect. But he does so in very unexpected ways. It's in the field at night, and the angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified. And this will be a sign. This will be a sign. But what fascinates me is a phrase that shows up again in this story. It's the same phrase that showed up in the story of Mary, and the same story that showed up in the story of Joseph. And it's this thread that connects all these stories. And it's this simple phrase, do not be afraid. And in fact, it's the only thing that all three of those stories really share in common, other than the fact that they are announcing the birth of Christ into this world. It's do not be afraid. And in the midst of their fear, and I don't know how you don't be afraid when you're there in the middle of the night and the heavens open up, light shines down, and an angel begins speaking to you. I don't know how that doesn't scare you to death. But the angel says, do not be afraid. I have good news, and this good news will be for all people. Israel had been waiting for good news. But Israel had been waiting for good news for themselves. And good news for Israel probably meant bad news for everyone else around them. They were begging, they were pleading with good news from God. And good news shows up. But good news is for all people. I think it's the same reason that Jonah ran from God. You remember the story of Jonah and the big fish, the well? Jonah refuses to go to Nineveh. And he doesn't go because he's afraid of what might happen to him. He goes because he's afraid that God would show those people grace. He refuses to go because he doesn't want God to be kind to their enemies, to those he doesn't want to include in the story of God. He refuses. And that's what Israel longed for. They longed for the day when God would judge their enemies and they would get what they deserved. But now good news comes in a very unexpected way. With this royal announcement, with this proclamation that the Messiah has been born in Bethlehem. And this will be the sign. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Because when God draws near, fear gives way to joy. When God draws near, fear gives way to joy. Because they are afraid in the field, the angel comes to them and says, I have good news. Good news for all people that the Messiah has come into the world. And this will be the sign. You will find this baby lying in a manger. Not a palace, but a manger. Because a palace would have guards. A palace would have gates. A palace you would have to work your way to get into. But a manger, anyone can walk into a manger. A palace says you have to work your way, you have to earn your way inside. A manger says, come as you are. You are welcome. You belong. Come, join the story of God in this world. Because God is showing up in very unexpected places, in very unexpected ways. And what you see from these shepherds is you see this movement. They hear the message of Jesus. They hear the message of the Messiah. And then what do? They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. And then skipping down to verse 20, they hurry off to see. And then they go and tell. The very first thing is they go and tell. One of the things I love to see more than anything else is people who have just given their life to Christ and the excitement and the enthusiasm that they have, and they go tell people about Jesus. And they go off and they say, hey, you've got to come see what we've found. And I start to wonder, though, why does that joy wear off for those of us who have followed Jesus for so long? Because I remember the joy that I had when I first gave my life to Christ. This excitement. Oh, I can't believe this story. And yet somehow, some way along the way, that joy begins to diminish. And I think the reason it starts to diminish is because the longer I'm in Christ and the longer I'm a part of the kingdom, I start to feel almost as if I've earned this or I deserve this. Because now I've become good enough. And I wonder if at times that as a church, we don't start to give off that message to other people, where they feel excluded from the story because obviously they're not as good as you and I. When the truth of it is at the end of the day, we need Jesus just as much today in our story as we did right when we began that story and that journey. That need has never changed. When people are walking in these doors, when you encounter them in the stores or your neighbors, they should see that joy of Christ in you. That awe, that enthusiasm of, oh my, I can't believe I'm still invited to Christ. Because the only difference between those of us who are here who belong to Christ and those who don't is that we've realized our need for Him. We haven't done anything to earn our way into His presence. And that's really good news. Because the honest truth is you can't. We are simply at the mercy of the King. And we come with humble hearts. And I think that's the beauty of this sign. You're going to find this child wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. The sign of the kingdom is humility and accessibility. This humble birth that anyone is able to come to, that anyone can come and be a part of and see. And that's the good news of the story of the kingdom. if you feel excluded, if you feel like you are not good enough, that you don't belong, that there's not a place here for you, the good news is there is. And you don't have to fix anything before you come to Christ. You just simply have to come to Christ humbly and say, Jesus, my life is yours. And when we surrender, and when we're buried into those waters, and we're raised into this new life, the kingdom is now around us. It's within us. And we belong. Not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus has done. That is the good news of the gospel. That is the good news of Jesus. And if God is willing to show up in the dark fields to the people that no one expected, where is He willing to show up in your life? Because where you feel forgotten may be exactly where God wants to be found. In the place that you feel like you're searching for God, might be exactly where He is, searching for you. Because Jesus continues to pursue His people. And He refuses to give up on you. Your story is not over. In fact, your story is just beginning. Because Jesus will do amazing things in your life if you're willing to just simply humble yourself, die to yourself, and be buried with Him. God continues to show up in the most unexpected people, in the most unexpected places, and in the most unexpected ways. And the good news is for everyone, for all people, that the Messiah has come into this world. Father, we thank You so much for this day. God, we're grateful for the opportunity to celebrate Jesus, to celebrate life in Christ. Father, for the reminder, for the realization that all of us are badly in need of a Savior. That we've done nothing, we can do nothing to earn our way into Your presence. But the manger reminds us that this is the invitation, just come as you are. Come as you are and find life in Christ. And so, Father, today we lay everything at Your feet. We humble ourselves once again, reminding ourselves that we need You as badly today as we did when we began this journey. We love You. We pray this in Jesus' name.